Cerotech is celebrating 7 years, but you get the goodies. Now through February 22nd, save 25% off all software purchases of $399 or more. Get system access licenses for 2 computers starting at just $299. And that includes free, I said free, lifetime upgrades. Try SAMNet for 1 year and get the 13th month free. And for existing users, for any new user you refer who tries SAMNet for 1 year, you will get 1 free month of access to SAMNet for yourself. Whether you're ready for a better screen reading option or want a second option for maximum accessibility, there's never been a better time and there's never been a better price. Call toll free 866-202-0520 or visit www.cerotech.com.
Welcome to the Cerotalk Podcast.
Cerotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Cerotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.cerotalk.com.
A production of Cerotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Law.
Welcome to Cerotalk Podcast number 8. This is Michael Loff.
I'm Ricky Inger.
And this is Mike Calvo. Welcome.
We play with the new Skype 4.0.
And dude, I think it sounds awesome.
It does. It's pretty awesome. Listen how great we sound. It sounds like we're in your living room. And maybe if you're wearing headphones, we're in your head now.
This new, they call it the Silk codec goes from 70 up to 12 kilohertz. And people with good microphones, you can notice it.
Baby, silky smooth.
Silky, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Don't get me like stockings, you know.
System Access, Cerotech not officially supporting it. It actually works quite well with System Access, and I'm told as well as JAWS. WindowEyes users have some mixed results. I'm not getting a lot of success over there, but with SA, great.
Put it on here a couple minutes before the podcast because I'm using a 64-bit machine, and early on in the beta, it was a Wigan. But it's much better now, I think.
The key is to hit Alt 1 to restore you to your contacts, because it works like those of you SoundForge, you have these Alt keys that change your view. So Alt 1 is your contacts, Alt 2 is your conversations, and then Alt 3 is like your history. So,
ah, nice. And then, of course, the menu bar does not work if you were just to press the Alt key and attempt to go across it. But if you do know shortcuts like Alt T for tools and that sort of thing, you're going to be able to use it very successfully.
And don't plug in your microphone and just expect Skype to use it.
Alt A, and then there's an audio settings, and you can tweak it while you're online. So,
which I did do, and here I am.
Skype.com and grab that. And, of course, it works with call burner.
You have to do something, considering the fact that you might be without television.
A fourth of the stations are actually going to go ahead with this.
Yes, 491 out of 1,700 and some commercial stations are going to switch. It seems to be a market-by-market thing. What happened here in my community is all 5 stations said it's all or nothing. We'll either all turn off or we won't. 4 of them wanted to turn off, but the ABC station said no. So now the other 4 are upset because they got to spend anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 for electricity to run their transmitters for another 4 months. They don't want to leave and lose the potential 5-6% of people.
Do we get to continue to feed overpriced advertising to small rural markets, or do we just turn it off?
Well, actually, the CW station did actually go off the air. They could not afford it here. But anyway, they claim that 5% of homes aren't ready, so I'm sure the electronic stores will be excited on Tuesday as people rush out to get their equipment. And coming up later in this podcast, we'll be speaking with Larry Goldberg from WGBH, who will be talking about some of the accessible boxes.
Yeah, but dude, nobody's going to be ready on June 12th anyway.
I mean,
they wouldn't have been ready if it was told that it was going to be in the year 2020. You're going to always have that slacker. I'll get it next week, man. I guess I side with the rest of the geek community that gets it, people. TV is not going to be the way it used to be. Out with the rabbit ears. I'm not very hopeful about descriptive video in the future right now. I just don't see where they've done a standard.
Actually, he'll talk about the FCC has started a coalition. So hopefully that's going to materialize. He seems to think the 4-month delay will actually be a good thing to help stations because they actually have the capability to do 6 different audio feeds. So once it's just a lack of understanding on their part, but technologically it's going to be much easier. So we'll see how that goes out. And maybe I'll need some advocacy to kind of get things rolling in that world.
And speaking of accessibility, it appears that accessibleworld.org is going to continue their efforts.
Which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's really sad to see that Pat Price, who won a System Access Mobile Network package shortly before she passed, she was an amazing person, and it's really we're really sorry to see her go, but it's great that the mission continues. We look forward to being able to support that in any way possible, and do suggest that our community do that as well.
Absolutely. I had the pleasure of presenting to Accessible World back in June, I think, and that was a wonderful experience. I hope to do so again, and it's a great place to get information about the latest and greatest technology. So, yeah, tune in.
And they're going to be talking about the KNFB Reader on February 16th, I believe it is. And I'm kind of interested on the KNFB Reader because I'm moving over to an N82, a Nokia phone. I did not purchase the KNFB Reader, and I'm really trying to find a reason to pay so much money for this piece of software. I've been known, of course, to rant and rave about quote-unquote blind ghetto products. I do believe that there are some features, and I want to give this product the benefit of the doubt. Now, talking to some folks, I do realize that the KNFB Reader, when it started, it was $3,500, and then it went down to $1,900, and now I think it's like at 16 or something like that, or 14, including the phone. If you have the N82, you can get the software for a whopping $995, which I can't get my head around paying $995 for a piece of software for a cell phone, people.
I did actually buy it because I guess it was an issue of supporting the technology. It is more than I want to pay for it. Now, they are taking some of that money, and you could argue maybe that should be passed along to you, and they are giving some grants, scholarships to college students, and giving
technology. They're going to give me, the CEO of a technology company, a grant. Not!
Well, you will contribute to the grants of others. Now,
yeah, right. Well, exactly. It's like,
you feel now?
Save me a third, you know, because I'm still spending a lot of money at that front. But, Mike, I will say for someone like yourself who travels a lot, it could be very handy to have that for reading things in hotel rooms and other documents that you may get at seminars and other events. Is it necessary? No, certainly we've lived without it before. But it is handy at times, and that portability.
Well, they have some features that are kind of cool. Reading signs and being able to translate stuff on the fly if you've got an internet connection is pretty cool, especially if you're visiting somewhere like Miami or if you're in another country where signs may be in Spanish or what have you. I haven't really gotten my head around all the abilities. I also am blessed with a very gorgeous wife with 20/20 vision. Well, actually, she uses glasses now, so does that count? She's definitely got more sight than I do. And,
yeah, but she's hard to pack in a suitcase.
That's true.
I think.
Or in my pocket. And she argues with me. You know, Ricky?
That's the phone doesn't talk back except it says what you want it to.
Did she suck you out of that iPhone yet?
Dude, she's on that iPhone bad. She wants the iPhone. She wants the iPhone. I'm telling her, babe, it's $90 a month just to be able to say you have an iPhone. Yes, but I want to update my Facebook. Well, you have a netbook. You know, she's home with the kids and all that stuff. So she would be using her iPhone from home where we have lots of broadband. The folks over there at the Accessible World are going to be they're going to continue their training programs and all of that.
Next week, people can email in, I guess, questions related to their computer concerns. They can mail them to Bob Acosta at pacbell.net. So Bob's going to be overseeing that, and they're going to continue. On a related note, Main Menu, I guess, is returning a live program that will follow the pre-recorded segment. Although I don't know who's hosting it.
Are Jeff and Daryl doing it again? Or
I don't think so. I think maybe Chrissy interviewed the person in the February 4th podcast, but I haven't listened to it. So we'll see what they're going to do. It's interesting because it says that it's not going to be related, but yet it says they may take questions based on the previous discussion. So it sounds like they want to have it both ways, or maybe that was just the article that I read and the way they surmised how it's going to happen. So for those of you who enjoy that and the interaction over there, we'll see who's hosting it and how they do it.
Hey, you had a really good tech talk.
Basically, we talked about labeling, and a lot of good suggestions came up. You showed how to do RFID tags.
Yep.
And so definitely listen to that. But before we even go in further, in case someone didn't, we need to talk about our birthday. Today is our birthday, the 16th, when people actually hear this, or most will anyway.
It's true. And Ricky's going to be off getting her puppy dog.
I am. I'm going to be in Florida.
Lucky
so
you.
I won't be in Orlando.
It's going to be like in the 80s here.
Yeah, nice. 70. Too bad they don't have a pool on the Southeastern Guide Dogs premises. I'll be too busy in training and such. So I'm very excited.
She's thinking about lounging out there in a bikini, you know, glass of wine in hand.
Well, I think it's essential that my dog be able to work in a situation like that.
She's actually going to be out at Southeastern Guide Dogs. That's going to be cool, where I graduated from and where Raymond graduated from. We're trying to convince Michael to get out there. So those of you who want Michael to get a guide dog, do send your emails.
Bombard him with emails.
And phone calls to the Blab Line. Why don't you give out that information, Michael, so people can bug you?
Okay, well, as always, resources at serotalk.com and the Blab Line at 866-997-BLAB. You can put
blah,
in your,
blah, 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 blah. Oh, that you don't want to hear that.
That's the scary blah. Yeah, that's not the happy blah, blah.
So do either of you own Sirius or XM radios?
I do not.
Well, I did, actually, and I just didn't use it enough. I found that the XM a little bit accessible, but it just wasn't enough. And there's so many alternatives online.
So many alternatives online that this operation could definitely fail. It's safe to say that they're probably going to file Chapter 11. What's interesting is it could be taken over either by the company that runs DirecTV or the Dish Networks. They owe $175 million on Tuesday. They owe the MLB, Major League Baseball, owing the NFL, and those contracts coming up in 2010. And of course, if they file for bankruptcy, they can get out of these very, very expensive contracts they're paying. People like Howard Stern, $100 million a year. What a waste.
Wow.
Oprah Winfrey, yeah, Martha Stewart. I thought I told you
that. That was a no-brainer. Waste. Now I'm seeing the article here, and it says about Sirius. Didn't XM buy Sirius?
No, Sirius bought XM.
But dude, XM always was so much more popular. Sirius had more money?
I don't know why it worked out that way. Neither one had money. They're both in debt, and that was their whole claim, that they needed to merge to keep the operation alive, and then the stock just fell to the floor, like 11 cents a share.
And now they're going to go to DirecTV. Bon voyage, Titanic.
Well, the Dish Network's trying to do a hostile takeover, and I certainly don't want to continue supporting it. If you go look at the Better Business Bureau, the Dish Network, or EchoStar, actually has thousands of complaints, many with billing disputes. So, yeah, I want to hand you my credit card information for unauthorized charges. So,
speaking of credit, let's do a buzz out loud.
A buzz out loud.
Let's do a blatant transition there. People have lost the access to your Experian credit scores.
Now, wait a second, though. But what does this have to do with technology?
I think it does have to do with technology. Not only your ability to purchase it and, based on your borrowing power and such. A lot of consumers are getting their credit scores online. MyFICO, which is the Fair Isaac website.
Oh, Fair Isaac.
Yes, oh, Fair Isaac. This is where a lot of consumers could have gone to get all three credit report scores. Experian is no longer providing those scores.
But this is where I think consumers are really confused. Experian, TRW, and Equifax are all privately held companies. I'm going to open up Mikey's Blink Credit Services, and I'm going to start offering up to give people's credit reports. And once you gather information, then anybody, you can call, if you're not happy with that, then you know what? Just tell Experian, call them up and say, I don't want you to carry my credit information anymore, and they cannot. So anything that's on your credit report right now is optional. You do not have to have it there. So if banks choose to do this, it's because they choose to select it. But really, consumers can do something about this right away by just en masse calling Experian and saying, you know what, if you're not going to share my information, then you're not entitled to it to begin with. Here's a letter, take it off your records anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they are continuing, Experian is continuing to share the information with lenders.
With those that pay.
Yeah, but if you're a consumer, you can go to freecreditreport.com, which is
No, don't go there. Experian. That's a ruse. It's not free. It's a...
No, dare exactly.
Dare I say scam.
It's Federal Express.
Annual creditreport.com.
No, see, this is the reason we think that Experian has done this to begin with. The freecreditreport.com site is owned by Experian, and they're hoping that consumers will come to their site to purchase these credit monitoring
services. Right, see, the only way you get it free, right, is to pay for the monitoring service. The government mandated that these companies give you a free report from each of the three bureaus once per year at annualcreditreport.com. And most, 90% of the top 100 lending institutions use these Experian scores. So people not having that data are going to be at a disadvantage. But also, not just that, you can also be denied employment if you have bad scores, or people have been fired.
Listen, don't get me started. I mean, like I said, this has nothing to do with technology.
Oh, it has everything to do with technology.
It does strike me in a particularly nasty place, because all of us have issues in our lives. And I went through a divorce. Some credit issues came out of that divorce 15 years ago, I may add. One of my creditors recently lowered my credit line because they were looking and they found this thing on my credit report. This is akin to me saying, you know, Michael, I'm going to have to really reconsider our friendship because you had an argument with Ricky at one point. Now, I don't know Ricky very well. I really don't have anything to do with her, but because I saw from a third party that has nothing to do with you or Ricky, I got to really reassess our relationship. Like I said, none of these companies are owned by any government entity whatsoever. They're just some Joe Schmo that decided one day that he was going to be nosy, collect everybody's information, and become a resource for it. And that's it. There is nothing federal about it. There's no legal requirement for them to do this. It's a cartel as far as I'm concerned. So there's my rant. Ha! I dislike creditors so badly, and I am doing my very best right now to get all the credit cards out of my wallet. I don't want them.
People feel passionately about it. Well, why not just go over and start a petition at petitiononline.com, as many people have done, and advocate there for some go. Change if you feel that passionately about it.
And you've got one of those coming up, don't you?
We have started one asking Amazon Technologies, Inc. to make the Kindle fully accessible as far as the menus, because they have installed Nuance Speech, both a male and female voice, and that unit's going to roll out on the 24th. And we feel if they've gone that far, and because thousands of people patronize both Amazon and Audible.com with monthly or annual subscriptions, that
they just felt it'd be fair to patronize us by not giving it, by not giving accessibility.
Well, come on. I mean, they got 95% there. Why not just go the extra step and make it accessible? But interestingly enough, there was a story about the Authors Guild, who, I kid you not, was questioning the inclusion of the text-to-speech engine because it would be engaged in a public performance if it was reading books to you, and this might be a copyright violation. So,
I'm sure they're more worried about people converting it to an MP3 file and putting it up on torrents and
like
things.
Yeah, but this is ridiculous. And like, you would actually choose Nuance if you had a choice. You'd choose Nuance to read to you. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not a big fan of Nuance.
It doesn't really matter. The fact is that they need to give this thing accessibility. It's interesting to me how they just kind of skate right to the edge. If we could get this petition out there, get people to understand, and I realized something in the last petition that we were putting up on Facebook. A lot of my sighted friends actually went and signed the petition.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be a blind person to ask for accessibility in these types of things. So on your social networks, encourage your sighted friends. That type of accessibility that we're encouraging them to include is going to be better for them for eyes-free navigation. So it would
That's the point I tried to make, cool. too, is that this will help people who will be using it in the car, which they shouldn't be while they're driving, but population is aging and therefore sight is deteriorating per capita, and try to lay it down in what I assume will work best with Amazon and a very rational monetary explanation of why they should do it. It's just good business sense that these are, as you put it, necessities for the blind, but cool features.
Absolutely. Next podcast, we'll talk about cell phones and my adventures. I found some very interesting things about changing service providers, but I'm not going to tell you.
What a tease.
What a tease.
I'm a big teaser. They call me the big teaser.
That's not what Elena said. Started. She didn't use the word big, but anyway.
Oh, no. No, you didn't.
Anyway, he went up in there.
Yeah, he did. He went there.
Find out what's going on here as far as set-top boxes and antennas and all that good stuff. Stay tuned. We got some great audio coming up for you. Speaking today with Larry Goldberg from the WGBH Media Access Group in good old Boston area. Thanks for joining me this afternoon, Larry.
My pleasure, Michael.
We appreciate you taking the time because there's a lot of questions. There seem to be more questions than answers, and it's hard to find people who will actually address the issues that we're wanting to know about the conversion from the conventional analog to the digital TV. The legislation says the stations have until June 12th, but they don't have to wait, or they're not mandated to wait. They can switch as early as February 17th. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true. And stations will have the opportunity to phase in or decide when they want to throw the switch. The entire state of Hawaii has already gone fully digital.
I guess there's cost involved in certainly running both transmitters. Is there any online portal where people can find out when stations are going to change?
Well, in most communities, there is an outreach effort from the local stations that will begin signaling that they are about to flip the switch. Go to dtv.gov or the FCC's website to see if the information is there. But generally, in a station, in a city-by-city situation, you will get information from the local broadcasters.
Talk about the tuners that are out there. How much testing have you done with them? What options do we have available as far as we have totally blind listeners who want to know if they can actually program these themselves or if they're ultimately going to need some sighted assistance, or what information can you provide on that front?
We have tested a few of these boxes, and we were very pleased to see that quite a few of them actually do carry the video description signal. Even though they weren't required to by law, quite a few did. We personally tested three or four. Some of them are the same box with a different label. And the American Foundation for the Blind tested a few others. And then the FCC actually came out with a list, fairly comprehensive, of more than 25 of these government-subsidized set-top converter boxes that actually pass the video description signal. So that list is actually available from the FCC website. Now, unfortunately, you'll need sighted assistance for every single one of these boxes. There's not one that gives any audio feedback, speech feedback, to help do the setup. And there is some setup necessary beyond even just plugging it into the right port. But there is a scan of the local stations that takes place and information that needs to be input on one or another of these different boxes. So even though we and many others in the community had submitted comments asking for a way of making these accessible to people with vision impairments, they did not do that. And so sighted assistance will pretty much be guaranteed to be needed.
Now, is there a difference as far as the quality of reception of these tuners? Do some do a better job at holding signals or might work better in fringe areas for those who live outside of the big cities where the transmitters are?
Yeah, there have been some reviews about in terms of which ones might function better in various features. Not that we necessarily want to plug one or another, but the feature set and the reception quality we found to be quite good on the Zenith or the LG set-top box. We were very pleased with the way that one works. But others work quite well. It really does come down to not only where, what city you live in, but where in the city or town you're located and what's the quality of your antenna. Because if you are going to be receiving over-the-air signals, you really do need to attend to the fact that your old rabbit ears probably won't serve you. There are some very inexpensive antennas for digital television that will really help a lot. And certainly if you have a rooftop, even better.
Do you have any particular brands there you can mention? I did see one that kind of looked like some fan blades. They were shorter aerials. That's the best description I can...
Yeah, actually, we have that one, too. Radio Shack has got a good collection, and I always find that Radio Shack staff is pretty good at advising people, and they are in every community, pretty much. You can go into a Radio Shack and get that one, and I do see another one that has a gain control directly from Radio Shack, UHF, VHF, FM, Amplified Indoor Antenna, and that one has been working pretty good on our own setup here, and that other one... that you mentioned has been in our laboratory as well, and they both tend to work pretty well.
I know this varies depending upon topography and your surroundings, but what can we expect in terms of distance? I'm concerned about the people who are 40, 50, 60 miles away from television stations, what kind of luck they're going to have.
Well, and I think it's an important point that many people don't realize in the world of digital television, it's not like in analog where you'll get a degradation of the signal, it'll get a little fuzzy, maybe you can get it a little better if you put tinfoil on your rabbit ears we used to do. In the digital world, there's a cliff effect. If you don't have a strong enough signal, you'll simply lose it entirely, and it won't be just marginal, which means that if you are on the edge of a signal strength from any number of stations, you could lose that channel entirely. And there is definitely concern that there's going to be a number of people who are in just the wrong geographical area that could wind up losing a signal entirely. And I can't answer the question for you in particular, because not only is it where you live in that community, but where the tower is for a particular station. They're not all co-located, so it could be on one end of town you'll get a good signal from the NBC station, but the CBS station won't come in well. There is a website called antennaweb.com where you can actually enter in your zip code or even your street address, and it will tell you what type of antenna would be best for your location. And it will even give you a sense of where these antennas are actually rated by color. And so you could actually go and enter your address.
One question some persons had concern about were audio jacks. Do any of these devices have audio jacks that are separate for patching into a stereo system, or strictly does signal go through channel 3 through the TV, or how does that work?
Many, if not all of them, have your standard RCA connectors for left, right, and video out. So you should be able to hook up to your stereo.
Now, someone said some were mono. Is that true?
I suppose the lowest end one. But, you know, this list that I had mentioned to you on the FCC website actually gives you a reading of the actual outputs. But, no, I believe they all, now that I look at it and remember the information, they all are stereo as a requirement of the being part of the subsidy program. Yeah, I remember that because while they require stereo, they did not require SAP support. So I think they are all stereo.
We have some people who, because they don't have sight, have just bought one of those basic radios for picking up the 2 through 13 audio signals. Do we know of any radios being made that will pick up the HD channels for folks who just want the audio portion?
We just learned of a prototype being built. They're not in the market yet, but a small grant was provided to Rocky Mountain Public Broadcasting to work for receiving digital audio signals, particularly because in a number of states in the country, the radio reading service is on the analog SAP channel. And when the analog SAP channel goes away, there will be no radio reading service available. I believe this is particular to Colorado, New Jersey, and Georgia, are three. So this organization was building a prototype. They're hoping to keep it under $200, which is a little high, so that you can access the digital audio signals. It's the only one I'm aware of at this point where you'll be able to tune in. And there's a variety of digital audio signals from the DTV. You can feed a station can feed as many as six or more different audio channels. I don't know that stations are doing any more than two or maybe three at this point. And this box that is still in prototype would be able to be adjusted for any of those audio signals.
So in that sense, it should be easier for stations to provide descriptive video, but that's not necessarily the case, or where are we with that?
It should be easier only in that it's fully built in. You don't need extra new equipment. Back in the days when video description was first begun and you were able to tune in only if you had a stereo TV with SAP channel and the TV station needed something called a SAP exciter, now it's just part of your overall digital television encoding equipment. And the main issue you need to know is, at a TV station, is how to add the proper metadata, which tags your program as having extra audio, so that your reception device, whether it's a set-top box or a cable box, or you're going direct into your digital television, recognizes as an extra audio channel there. Unfortunately, that information, that knowledge, is really not widely understood throughout the broadcast arena and cable and satellite. So many in industry are still a bit confused and have, from what we understand, answered the question to consumers who are calling in a quandary that there is no requirement for video description and therefore it's not available or they're not supporting it even though that's not really necessarily the accurate answer. I think that it's part of this confusion that has come about during this transition time, and it's why the FCC is about to establish a new task force on DTV, closed captioning, and video description, where many from industry and from the advocacy world will gather together, and luckily with this new delay we have until June 12th, work together to try to troubleshoot some of these questions on around both captioning and description.
Say we consider this delay then as a good thing then for the stations that are holding on and that gives some time to resolve some of these issues.
Well, it's certainly a good thing for consumers who are concerned about this. You mentioned that it's expensive to the stations. It's really the electricity cost is the main issue, and that is true. But for stations that want to get their act together in terms of distribution of closed captions and video description, yeah, this will be a helpful period to try to rectify those problems.
Do we need to be concerned with interference from adjacent devices like routers or computers or microwaves or cell phones? Is there anything that could disrupt the quality of the HD signal?
Nothing more than you would on analog TV. There's no particular extra interference problems.
So how much DVS content are you producing at the WGBH Media Access Group these days?
We have quite a bit, focusing a significant amount of it on public broadcasting programs. WGBH is a provider of programs for the public broadcasting network, and so because we're in the same building with them, and we do have some grants from the U.S. Department of Education, we are able to provide description on programs for grown-ups like Nova and Frontline and Masterpiece Theater and Mystery and quite a few others, and then a large array of children's programs which come through our shop as well. So Arthur and Buster and Fetch and Between the Lions and Martha Speaks, and just quite a large array of programs. That list is available on our website at access.wgbh.org. Outside of the public broadcasting realm, we're providing description on a number of CBS television series, NCIS, CSI, JAG's Gone Off the Air, we used to describe that, quite a few specials and movies and miniseries. And on Fox, we continue to describe The Simpsons, which has been a favorite to blind audiences for over a decade now. There is a large library of Nova programs with descriptions on DVD, over 100 actually. And those can all be purchased. Of course, you can record them and play them back yourself. But those Nova programs in particular are available from the e-commerce site at WGBH, which is shopwgbh.org. And there's actually a menu item that says video description, and you'll get a list of programs you can buy there. The children's programs, some of the other ones aren't available with description, and we're actually working on alternate ways of providing these described shows via online or video on demand services. But unfortunately, not many DVDs presently have video description on them. And again, that list is available on our website, access.wgbh.org.
And what about the motion picture, the movie studios? Are you doing some of those, or is that a movie-by-movie thing,
yeah.
Or are certain studios more proactive?
Yeah, the studios have been great. We have this system we call MoPix, which consists of a system for providing closed captions in movie theaters through a personal reflecting device. And for blind people, MoPix provides DVS Theatrical, which is an infrared headset that you can get in 400 different movie theaters in the U.S. and Canada. And those theaters, when one of the captioned or described movies are playing in that theater, a blind consumer can get the headset. And quite a few first-run films are available with description in the theaters. The list is available at mopix.org, M-O-P-I-X.org. And there are a couple of new ones every week that come out that are in the theaters all over the country, and you can find your local theater also at that same website. Now, those really excellent first-run films that the studios are very supportive of putting out there have not been widely available after they finish their run in the theaters, either on DVD or pay-per-view, but we're working closely with the theaters to find a way to get those distributed. Happens to be the Universal, one of the major studios, is putting quite a few DVDs out with description. And we're trying to get the other studios to provide that as well.
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware, there's a petition asking Disney to put describe video on their DVDs, and it has almost 1,400 signatures at last glance. So
I have seen that, and we have made sure that our friends at the Disney theatrical division are aware of that. The home video divisions and the theatrical divisions of the studios are really almost separate companies with separate budgets, separate economics. But that petition, I think, can have an effect. It's interesting that they picked Disney as a entity. In fact, all the studios could use a little extra push, but I think this could be effective. It's interesting because the Disney theme parks are making major efforts to provide more and more access to people who are blind or visually impaired. But again, that's very much a separate division from both the theatrical and the home video divisions.
Is there any effort that you're aware of to make some of these TV shows at least available online? You know, you have portals like Hulu and all the networks that make their shows available to watch on demand. Is there any effort maybe to make the described video content, even if it's password protected, where people have to prove that they need some kind of authorization? Is there any effort to do that?
Yeah, we're actually working on that, both in online and on demand versions. I don't have anything I can announce or suggest that there's a website you can go to get that. But it's clearly another alternate way of getting the content to people who need it. We've been interested in both the idea of getting described movies available to people who want them and just the audio of described movies without the video, and can save a little storage and bandwidth as well.
Do you want to give any contact information?
Sure. We very much welcome and treasure our relationship with the blind community. And an email address, easily enough, is access@wgbh.org. And we are active in virtually every area that I talked about today. So any of your listeners has inquiry about online or movie theaters or television, digital television. And if you have complaints, we would like to hear, because we are trying to help gather data about failures to deliver a description. We'd love to hear from people. We recommend also people send these complaints to info@fcc.gov, because we need the FCC to hear from people. And if you do have a problem, it's always best to put as much detail as possible. What was the program? When did it air? Where do you live? Do you have cable or broadcast? What kind of equipment you're using? That helps tremendously when we're trying to trace down some of these problems.
Maybe become more advocates for getting access through our cable companies who may not think it to be a priority?
Absolutely. We always recommend people try to get through to their cable company and present their issue directly. Just terrible stories about lack of good customer service. You have to let them know anyway, because we certainly don't want cable companies to say, look, we never hear of any problems. We don't know what you're talking about. They do need to hear from them, but we're also quite willing to help pass those on.
Well, very good. Well, thanks for taking a few minutes out. Many people will enjoy and appreciate this insight. It answers a lot of questions, Larry. And I know you have some information on some of the things we talked about. So if people go to access.wgbh.org, they can read, I think, some of the things we talked about, the TV tuners and other work that you're doing.
My pleasure, Michael. I should probably give you one more web address, and that is DTVaccess.org, where we've posted a white paper on accessing description, another one on accessing captions, and links to lots and lots of other sites about this issue. So DTVaccess.org is another resource you can use.
Very good. We'll post that as well. Thank you very much, Larry.
Glad to help.
Yay, Larry.
Michael, I didn't know you could interview so well.
Well, I'm slowly getting better.
You haven't been listening to the podcast then, because he always does an excellent job.
Actually, I'm just busting your chops. Yeah. You do a great interview. It's always a pleasure to listen to your work and the way you're able to squeeze information out of people.
I'm not worthy. I'm on my right knee right now. My hand up. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
That was a great movie. By the way, we just got a movie up on the network that you have got to check out if you have not checked it out before. It's an old movie. It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, awesome. I'm going to be watching that on the plane on the way to Florida.
Yeah. It is hilarious. with Matthew Broderick when he was a wee fellow. It's a great movie. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's like an old 80s cult flick. It's awesome.
It's it's a classic.
It's an entertainment guide in the Describe Video Services.
Definitely. We want people, we want to hear from you by emailing resources at serotalk.com and, of course, calling the Blab line at 866-997-BLAB.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. Ricky does a bit.
Blah, blah.
But that's
blah.
Not her on the...
I don't know. Is that art imitating life, imitating art or something?
Art? I didn't know Art did that. Art Schreiber is a great customer, great friend. Hey, Uncle Art. And
he has a great wine collection, too.
Yes, he does. We've enjoyed. Anyway, so see you guys on the next podcast where we will be discussing
cell phones.
Discussing cell phones?
And you're going to have your doggy on the next podcast. So we'll hear it shaking and wiggling and you're going to be like in an echoey place because they have no carpets over there at Southeastern.
On location from Southeastern Guide Dogs.
Hey, maybe we can give away a prize if someone can guess what the dog's name's going to be.
Guess the dog's name?
Guess the gender. You got a 50-50 shot.
I know somebody who's the dog's breed.
Yeah, breed? I know somebody who's got a dog named Fuller Brush. I've stopped trying to guess guide dog names. Some people are pretty psycho about the names that the sponsors give these dogs.
Chex Mix, come here.
Thor and King, and that's a good one. Why don't you guys call us up with your weirdest guide dog names, and don't make it up.
Real, honest to goodness, guide dog names.
And the funniest one, we'll bring you on and we'll make fun of you and your guide dog. See you guys.
See ya.
See you in 2 weeks.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.